Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the England special that we promised you in our last episode. Cormac, let's just get straight into it, shall we? Jordan Henderson, what the hell is he doing in the England squad?
Don't say his name, man. Oh, dear. I mean, that was the biggest surprise. We'll kind of go through, obviously, the whole squad and everything. But, yeah, just jumping straight into it. Why has he been called up? I really don't understand it. Like, listen, he has been great for us. Like, to his credit, he has been great. But I saw today his first call-up was Capello. How are we having a guy who was called up by Capello still in the squad now? Is he 34, 36? I can't remember the top of my head now.
How old he is.
But he's too old. And, like, he's had this disaster with Saudi. Now he's at Ajax. And, I mean, I don't really know how we've been this season, but I know when he first joined, he was just absolutely ripped to shreds. And it really just didn't work for him. He's day four, just double checked. But yeah, how has he been called up? Taylor, what do you make of it?
Well, honestly, I really don't know what to make of it. Lee Carsley obviously preceded Tuchel and took that as an opportunity to not pick Jordan Henderson, which I think everyone was very, very happy about. Obviously,
And Lee Carsley as well, sorry, really especially like emphasised the youth, didn't he? He was picking a lot of kind of new guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, Tuchel's got a different plan, what have you, but sorry, I carry on with Henderson.
Yeah, so he took the opportunity to just take him out of the fold completely. Oh, he didn't actually make the Euro squad last year, if I remember correctly, either. So it looked like he had been phased out, and rightly so, because he had obviously made the career decision to go move to Saudi, which was extremely ill-advised, and then made the very strange move to Ajax. And it just seemed like we have such a depth in talent, young talent in this England setup, you know, in the under-21s, in the senior team. To bring him back in just makes no sense to me. I can understand it just maybe from the experience point of view, but just outside of that alone, makes zero sense to me. What a shame is all I'm going to say. What a shame. I don't think
it is. Yeah, I think like you said, especially in midfield, we do have a lot of. I mean, they are given they are it. Our kind of our talent is especially in that attacking midfield area. Maybe defensively, we're not quite as good, but it does feel like it's a real opportunity for an Adam Wharton and LA Anderson to have been called up and get into that England squad ahead of the World Cup next year. Like I said. Like you said, even the experience and everything, that's obviously the reason why he's gone. So Pickford's come out today and said, oh, it's a winning mentality. All right. Like we haven't got enough of that in the squad. Is Henderson bringing that much more from his glory years in Saudi?
That's questionable at his best. I think just great examples, by the way. Elliot Anderson and Adam Wharton are playing week in, week out. Obviously, Adam Wharton's just recently come back. But Elliot Anderson, for example, this season, he's been one of the better midfielders
one of the standouts
in the Premier League, which is where we want to be taking our talent into the squad from, not from the Dutch League, not from someone who's 34 years old. We should be integrating into pre-World Cup these players like Elliot Anderson, because they're more likely to play a pivotal role in the squads in the future compared to a Henderson, who just adds so little value. I think if we see him play, everyone's going to be so annoyed. Everyone's going to be so deflated. And these, for as much as everyone hates an international break, I hate an international break, you hate an international break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's going to hate it even more if we have to sit and watch Jordan Henderson play against Albania on Friday evening. So let's just hope he is just there for vibes. And he's not
going
to touch
the field. Vibesman. He's a vibesman, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's it.
So we'll have to we'll see on that one. Hopefully, this is the last squad that he's part of. I read the other day that Tuchel has 24 hours of game time between now and the World Cup.
Wow.
In the US, so that's not a lot of time to really get his head around who he wants in the squad, who he wants in the team, and by picking Jordan Henderson off the bat, doesn't bode well in my opinion in terms of blooding the youngsters, allowing them to get that experience, let them wear the England jersey, let them feel accustomed to it, let them get used to it. If he is playing, I'll be annoyed. Let's just hope he's not.
Me too. I agree. I mean, I can't imagine he will play.
No, I can't imagine he will play either. But yeah. he might, and I'll be annoyed by it. I'm going to then go on to the other elderly gentleman in the England squad. Kyle Walker is also
interesting.
What's your thoughts?
I think that one makes a lot more sense than the Henderson one for kind of two real reasons, really. One, he has up until literally January still been playing in the Premier League. This year, he obviously has aged, you know, in terms of you can see the way he's not that rapid as he was. He's not as quick to react. That being one reason. The second reason also, we are quite thin at the back. I think it's definitely kind of our weaker position, and it kind of has been for a few years, to be fair. Definitely our defensive squad, the defensive part of the team. So I think him being there, where the rest of the guys are fairly young, maybe, you know, you've got like a Livermento there, Colwell's still pretty young, Consa's fairly new, obviously Lewis Skelly as well, who I want to touch on in a bit. So I think that does make sense. It is, again, a bit frustrating because he is an old boy, but I mean, you can't doubt that he'll still be valuable, a valuable asset to the team. What do you think there?
I think he's definitely, I consider him more valuable than Jordan Henderson, but the bar there is so low. what does that statement even mean? But
yeah, that means really nothing now, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's one of them where I think that the younger defenders, like you say, we have Joao Kwanza, we have Tino Livramento.
Yeah, cool Kwanza,
yeah. These boys will learn a lot from Kyle Walker. I feel like he will be the type to pass on some invaluable experience and advice onto them. So I'm less against that.
Yeah.
And as well, I think he's one of those, he's quite close to 100 caps. I think he's at 92.
Okay,
so
right.
It could be one of them where they're getting him towards that mark and he'll be coming on for very late cameos when the game's done and dusted. I could
picture it now. 81st, 82nd minute coming on, just going,
yeah. Yeah,
doing all that shite on the sidelines
exactly,
as he's coming on.
Exactly that.
Makes
so
all
I
the
think
difference.
That's all that's going to be. And like, I agree that we, out of every section of the pitch, defence is definitely the weakest bit. So having someone like a Kyle Walker in, I can see the value a lot more than having a Jordan Henderson there. So I think, yeah, that's fine. I think, do you want to stick to the defence or do you want to touch on goalkeepers really quick?
It is a bit boring. I mean, who really cares? Four keepers. It's the four you think we're going to take. Pickford will start. Ramsdale's there. Henderson's there. And Trafford's there. I mean, Trafford has had a complete flip of a season. I'll just touch on him really quickly. In terms of... So I've been to a few Burnley games in my time, but I've got good friends who are Burnley fans. I sat on a lot of Burnley away ends, which every kid dreams of doing. But James Trafford, the attitude Burnley fans had towards him last year compared to this year is night and day. All I heard about him last year, I mean, this is online and at the stadium, was just how bad he was. Whereas this year, I mean, I don't want to speak for Burnley, but he is the complete opposite. And he has just been, seems to be one of their more consistent players, one of their better players. So is that a combination of him being in the Championship as opposed to the Premier League? Probably a little bit of that. But it's good to have that kind of younger keeper because obviously Pickford now, he's getting on a bit. Ramsdale, I mean, he's only 26, I think. And Dean Henderson as well, kind of probably, late 20s. So Trafford, who is a little bit younger. I think that makes sense. I mean, have you got anything else to say about the keepers there? Like I said, it is pretty dull.
Yeah, I mean, I have a bit of a different view on James Trafford. I don't think he is it, Chief. I don't think he's it. I actually do remember watching the, I think it was the under 21 England game where he actually managed to save that penalty in the last minute, which won them something, which was cool. But I don't think he's particularly that it. Apparently, Manchester United have been linked with James Traffin, potentially looking at, what, 20 million. And it's just not something that I'm...
I mean, he's only 22. I think he's only 22, which is about 16 in outfield years, really, isn't it, I think.
Yeah, I don't believe that he's probably the best with his feet. I'm a huge Dean Henderson fan. And in another world, in another timeline, he is the United number one goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He had a horrific, which is, I always find it bizarre when keepers have horrific luck with injury, because, bro, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, exactly.
Like, why is this happening? Like, why is this the thing? But when he was at United, bless him, he actually struggled a lot with injuries. And that's just, whenever an opportunity popped up where he could stake a claim, he was just never able to really grab it. There was moments where I thought, this guy, look, he was really good with his feet, really calm, really assured. It's what I saw from Dean Henderson in the United shirt was almost on par with what I've seen from Onana in a United shirt, with a much smaller sample size, if that makes sense.
Okay. So, okay. I was trying to figure that out there. Was that praise to Onana or a dig at Trafford, or what was that? Was that kind of
It was more that in another world, Dean Henderson could have been United's number one, because from what I've seen from Onana in his time, it's shown me no different to what a younger Dean Henderson showed for me when he was at United. So, and he's obviously done quite well at Palace, but so good to. I'm a Dean Henderson fan. I think he should be England's number one goalkeeper moving forward, but I think Jordan Pickford is rightfully staked his claim to be number one until he doesn't want to be, and he definitely will be for the US World Cup. So, but in my, if I was to say, I'd like Dean Henderson. But anyway, we've spoken enough about goalkeepers. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Goalkeepers are boring.
I'll say, real quick, on defenders as well. We did mention in last episode, but Dan Byrne as well, getting that call up is huge at 33 years old.
Gosh.
Or 31, God. But I mean, I'm kind of a fan of it in the sense of, that's great for him. What a week he's had. Obviously, he is a bastard to play against. And I think Tuchel's probably going to do a three-back just based off what he has done, obviously, with Chelsea.
I hate three-backs, too.
I live
in this world now where my whole life is absorbed by three at the backs. Manchester United play three at the back. England play three at the back. Oh, just give me a 4-3-3 again.
It's the most 2016 formations. Oh, no, honestly.
Man, give me a break.
I know, but that's why what I think as well. And also, I think he may feature there on probably the left side of the back three, because again, I mean, he's a big boy, and he's, so that's good. But good on him getting a call up, basically, is what I'm saying. I'm happy for him.
The tone would be so different had Newcastle lost that final against Liverpool and he not scored the winner. I'd have been sat here right now saying, what the hell is Dan Baer doing in this England squad? He has no right to be in this England squad. What is Tuchel doing? But actually, I'm here saying, credit to him. Good on him. What a week.
Absolutely. I'd say so. That. Right, should we look at the midfielders then?
Well, actually, before you do go on to the midfielders, I want to quickly touch on, I want to give a shout out to Lewis Hall, who would have been in the squad and probably will be, is my rogue guess.
Yeah.
England starting left back at the World Cup next year.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
He's out of the squad due to injury, so it's a shame not to see him in this first squad, but I imagine he'll definitely be playing a part in the future.
There's quite a few injuries, isn't there, really, which is a shame. But I think hopefully a lot of them, a.k.a. Saka, will be back at some point soon. But yeah, should we go on midfielders?
Yeah, go on. Take your pick.
Yeah. I mean, the big standout, obviously, is initially Gibbs-White wasn't called up. He has since been called up because Cole Palmer's withdrawn. which was a real shame for him not getting called up. But I'm glad he has. I mentioned it before, but the attacking midfielder quality that we have in England is, it's like the right back problem that we had the last few years. It's outrageous. Again, just looking at this now, we've got Bellingham, Eze, Curtis Jones, Cole Palmer, Morgan Rogers, Morgan Gibbs-White. I mean, can you put Elliot Anderson in there as well? He's kind of maybe a little bit more attacking. I don't know. Phil Foden. I know. I think that's all I've got top of my head. But I mean, when Yari at Arsenal as well coming through.
Yeah.
So the quality of players, and that is obviously great, but it makes it so difficult because who do you play? And a lot of these guys as well are quite similar in the sense that they have that free. I mean, Cole Palmer especially, but have that freedom to roam around. So that's going to be really interesting going forward, kind of seeing who makes the squad from there. Because you know, someone like Morgan Rogers might not get a place in the team, you know, just because of the quality that we have.
Well, I think it's a really good point you make. It's really important to touch on international football and the dynamics that creates, because to be successful, everyone obviously just looks at the players that are in the squad and builds like the fantasy team, essentially, of the best players you can physically put in. But it's actually, you know, what blend of the players that you have available will create the best team, will implement the system most efficiently with the very limited time possible. So it's almost a blessing and a curse that we have so many good number 10s, because these guys are fantastic in their own right and fantastic for their club. But if you just take a Phil Foden, for example, in the 40-odd caps that he's had for England, he barely scraped 5 goals, I want to say.
Yeah.
He's never been able to replicate what he's done in Manchester City in an English shirt. So it's very much trying to find that blend of who will create the best team.
Mm-hmm.
And but for me, just touching on some of the ones you mentioned, Jude Bellingham's an automatic starter. For me, just...
Yeah, he has to be. He has to be.
What a player, man. He's just... Watching him over the two legs against Atletico, really just... Because we obviously don't get... It's such a shame that he's not in the Premier League, but I rate him so much.
I know. Selfishly, I'd love him to be there. Obviously, not at Liverpool. And in fact, they didn't go. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
But I know. I'm glad he went to Madrid. Cause I mean, he is that guy. And people don't like that confidence. Yeah, that's it.
Because he's so good. He is genuinely, I would say, our best player. And he...
Probably.
Yeah, he is.
Hard to dispute that, really.
I mean, just think back to it. Last summer, we were going out in like the 90th minute to Slovakia, and he produced a bicycle kick. I feel like that's just been etched from the memory of everyone. And that was insane. Yeah. That was such an incredibly clutch moment. And he's full of them. He's done it a lot for Real Madrid. He's not just a quality player, but he's got that swagger about him to be able to manage it on the biggest stage and just deliver in those moments where someone needs to deliver. And I rate him so highly. And I think with him in your team, anything could be possible. You know, he's obviously gone to Madrid and won a lot, and that's brilliant. And I really hope that one day he comes to the Premier League, preferably Manchester United, but that's just obviously not going to happen. But it's actually, so quick side note, his brother Joe... Reports came out today that Manchester United are very interested in
everyone. Manchester United, goddamn! I'd love if there was a counter of how many links mentioned you've already mentioned in about 8 episodes or whatever it is. Kind of, we need a little counter in the corner. Been linked. Yeah. I was going to say, been linked with United.
So, but back to Jude. I just think he's incredible, and he is the linchpin of this squad. And it's almost unbelievable to think we've got a Jude Bellingham and a Cole Palmer in the same team, and it's very difficult to fit them both in.
I know, and he's only 21 years old as well, which is absolutely fucking mental. Real
he's
quick, by the way,
than Cole, isn't he?
Off the top he is. Yeah, that's it. Foden stats, you said, so like you were right. 43 caps and only 4 goals. So you called that right. Looking at the other midfielders as well. I mean, like I said, the defensive part is something that we are a bit weaker. So it would have been nice to see an Adam Wharton in there, and maybe in Anderson as well. He's kind of, you know, he can do a bit of everything, because otherwise you look at Rice and, God forbid, Henderson as kind of the only real defensive options that we have midfield.
It's also important to note that Kobbie is obviously injured, so is unable to be part of the squad. Otherwise, I would expect him to be part of the squad, and it's...
I don't think he would have been called up, you know. I think even if it was fit, I don't think... Well, I don't think he would have made it ahead of Anderson and...
Jordan Henderson.
And then just, I mean, that's the thing. If Henderson's there, I don't. Who knows? But I would have liked to have seen him, but obviously he has struggled more this year than he did last season. And I would like to see him in the squad, but I don't think he would
have. Return.
Yeah, absolutely. Return. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Like, and I think he's obviously just going to be a player for England for the next 10 years. Although he has been out of form, I think he's someone that England internally really rate and admire.
Yeah.
So I think he would have been. I think he would have been part of the squad. I can't see him dropping down to the under 21s. I can't see him being left out of a squad. I think they very much see him as someone they want him to be around the squad as much as possible because they see the value in him going forward. It actually plays a part in why this is the second time in recent history, but the second time in 74 years no Manchester United player has been in the England squad, which really just highlights our downfall.
Stat drop. So, yeah, that's good stuff.
Sucks to suck, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Also, Wanyama, I've already mentioned, I'm sure he'll be there. I don't know if maybe 2026 is a little bit early for him because the poor guy has just turned 18, or just about to turn 18. But again, he's going to have some stiff competition. Ooh. But we'll wait and see.
I do have on Ethan, side note, we didn't touch on him in the defenders, that's where he's listed, but maybe in the future, Miles Lewis-Skelly.
Lewis-Skelly, of course. Well, that's it. We didn't mention him. Yeah, I was meant to bring it back up. Huge. Absolutely massive. I'm over the moon for him. He's just seems like that guy. Quick start, have you seen the amount of shite he's been getting online from a bunch of...
The world's a horrible place, man.
Virgin racist idiots who spend all their time on Twitter, which, to be fair, I do as well, but I'm not a fucking loser. He does stuff like this, and I'm not a racist. I don't understand it. I'm so happy for him. He's confident. He's a great player at 18 years old, and he seems like a really nice bloke. And I'm just really glad he's there, and I hope he can shut these children up by putting on a performance. And I'd love to see him play. I hope he gets a cap. I hope he gets a couple minutes at the very least. Yeah, I think so. At left back as well.
Brilliant. Brilliant to see him in the squad. I think he's had a fantastic season for Arsenal. Brilliant to see a young player break through and then to get an England call up.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to him. I hope he smashes it. I'm sure he will. He's looked great every time I've watched him. No better place for him to be than the England squad. He must be the happiest 18-year-old in the world. What a few months it's been for him.
Good on him.
You can't comprehend, can you? What were we doing when we were 18? Scratching our balls, doing nothing. And this exactly guy's that. Yeah, and this guy's 18. He's in the England squad. He's playing for Arsenal. He's living every young footballer's or anyone who enjoys football's dream. So absolute credit to him, and I hope he smashes it. I'm sure he will.
Me too. Absolutely. Right, going on to the forwards then. I'll list them off really quickly. Jared Bowen, Phil Foden is under 40, Anthony Gordon, the naughty boy, he's back, Harry Kane, Marcus Rashford, and Dominic Solanke. Obviously, missing Bukayo Saka, as we know, but otherwise, I'm trying to think off the top of my head now, any other forwards there that we're kind of missing through injury or what have you?
Off the top of my head,
I can't think of any. No, that's it. I mean, the main one here, Rashford makes it back. And obviously, as a Man United fan, like you said, he's not technically... I mean, he is a Man United player, but he's not. How do you feel about that? Do you think it was due? Do you think it makes sense? Are you a bit kind of frustrated? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm not frustrated. I'm happy for him. But to me, it doesn't make sense. I think he has been fine at Villa. I don't think I don't think he showcased the form which was necessary for him to get back into the England setup.
Yeah, was it four assists he's got? Was it four assists?
Four assists and zero goals in the 12 games or 13 games he's played for so far this season. So he's not blowing roofs off. He's been fine. I think, if anything, this is just good for when he returns to Manchester United in the summer, and he probably is now realising that he's left Manchester United, he's not getting as much criticism, the spotlight's not on him as much, he's back in the England squad. Everything seems to have worked out well from a personal point of view for Rashford since he's left Manchester United on loan. And he very well might... this is the type of thing which will solidify in his mind that he probably needs to leave Manchester United. And also, this is the type of thing which will help Manchester United bargain a higher price for him.
Of course.
In the summer, when he chooses to leave, he might want to try to go to a Barcelona, he might want to try to go to... I don't know who else would really take him, but a Barcelona or... No, I don't know. I don't know who else would probably take him. But if you wanted to go somewhere else, this is going to help bargain the price upwards from a Manchester United perspective, which again, is a win-win. Everything that Marcus Rashford does good is a win-win for him and for Manchester United, because it helps that summer sale go down a bit smoother, which, good to see him back in the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. I did just do a quick Google as well. So in terms of the one main standout that we're missing is obviously Ivan Toney from the Euro 2024 squad. Well, what about? He's crushing it in Saudi.
No, I don't care. My automatic opinion is that if you move to Saudi Arabia, or if you move outside of Europe's top five leagues, you cannot be considered for the England national squad. There will be players in the Premier League. There will be players who have left to go to Italy or Spain who are performing at a higher quality league and performing more regularly at the top level than someone who's playing out in Saudi. And just from a moral standpoint alone, if that's what you choose to do, everyone's within their right to choose what they want to do. But if you are going to make that decision, then you have to forego some, you have to essentially live some of the consequences, and being out of the England squad should be an automatic one, in my opinion.
Do you think he comes back? Because he's only, is he 30 now or 29?
He's probably towards, no one's going to buy him.
No, because I know Arsenal, Arteta met with him last summer and basically said no, didn't like his attitude. He is 29, so he's just, turned 29 a few days ago. But
happy birthday, Ivan.
Happy birthday if you're listening, and we're about to slag you off a little bit. But I mean, I think he's a great, he was a great asset when he was about, Ollie Watkins isn't on there, is he? I've just clocked that.
Oh, Ollie Watkins, yeah.
Yeah, injured.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So
he's there.
He'll be there. But Ivan Toney, sorry. Arteta met with him in the summer, I believe, or the reports were that that's what happened. Didn't like his attitude, didn't think what he had would bring enough to Arsenal. Obviously, maybe hindsight now, without a striker, maybe he could have, you know, maybe he had a little bit of a strop on, but maybe he would have come in and scored 20 goals, so who can really say? But I think Brentford would have wanted something like 60 million from Arsenal as well, which he just wasn't worth. But I think you're right in the sense of, if you're going somewhere like Saudi, you can't expect to get an England call-up, and I don't think you should as well. Henderson, obviously, back in the Netherlands, is that top five league? No. So he probably shouldn't be there as well, but he comes on merit. I think, realistically, the kind of main strikers that we want are going to be Harry Kane, Solanke, and Ollie Watkins when he's fit. Solanke's fine.
Well, rogue shout from me. I think that come World Cup 2026, Liam Delap will be in the squad.
That's an interesting one. I was going to mention him as well. Do you think he may be? I mean, I think it was probably a bit early, wasn't it, this one? He's had a very good season in a very rough year for Ipswich. If he does, and it feels like when he does get that move in the summer, he is definitely going to be knocking on the door of that front three. I mean, would you take him over Solanke?
Not yet,
but maybe at some point. I know you're a big fan of Delap, and I am as well. So that'd be a really interesting one to kind of keep an eye on. All right, I'll put a question to you then, right? Let's say we're doing a 4-3-3 because none of that woke nonsense. Everyone's fit. Who is your front three?
Everyone's fit, blanket.
Everyone's fit. Okay.
So Saka, obviously, I think, brilliant, fantastic player, has to be in there. I think, naturally, annoyingly, Harry Kane has to be in there. But his time is coming to an end. Let it be known.
If friend of the pod Justin is listening, he will tell you just how shit Harry Kane has been for England. And to be fair, at times it is infuriating the way he drops back. I know that's his game. I know that's what he does. But in the Euros, which we'll come on to in a bit, maybe it is infuriating. Yes, but sorry, go on. Kane down the middle.
Yeah, Kane down the middle. And honestly, based on just recent form, I probably, just looking at the list now, I actually quite like Anthony Gordon.
I think I'm exactly the same front three, which is really boring for a podcast. But I like
Anthony Gordon. I think he's tenacious. He's got a goal in him. He's got that work rate. He's someone who's going to be able to play Thomas Tuchel's system effectively. So I'm not surprised to see him in the squad. He's had a good season outside of getting the most stupid red card known to mankind. And He's young. He's 23, 24?
23, I want to say. Have a fact check real quick. But yeah.
So he's going to be there. He's going to be in and around for the next few years. He's physical, good with the 23. Ball. Yeah. I think that left wing, it's funny, isn't it? We've got so much quality spread throughout the squad, but that's the problem now, isn't it? It's like you almost have to shoehorn, say, like a Cole Palmer into one of the wing spots.
I was going
to
say, deeper Cole Palmer on the left. 10. Because he did feature a little bit on the left, didn't he, I believe, in the Euros. Mm-hmm. But you don't get the best Cole Palmer, I think, is the only issue. He is that better kind of in the midfield, which is why it's going to be really difficult. You know, we've already mentioned Bellingham kind of is that guy. And I think him being down the middle, you want him in that 10 or just off the striker. So where does
you
that leave
Palmer?
You
have to play Cole Palmer, so you just have to. They're again, arguably one of the best players.
There's an argument they're our best two players. Like, yeah, genuinely. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Tuchel does for that. Do you have anything else to say then on the squad in general? Or should we move on to talking a little bit about Tommy T himself?
I think that's it on the squad. I mean, speaking candidly, I don't care what happens in the next 2 weeks. Neither I miss club football already. I'm checking the calendar every day just to see when the next game is. Manchester United is the 1st of April. I'm counting down the days. Just stop international breaks during the season. I know it has to be done, and there's no other time to do it.
What is the attitude of other countries? Are they the same as us? Do they hate international breaks?
I think the smaller countries, say like in the Balkans or the Mediterranean countries, they appreciate it because a lot of their stars don't play in their domestic leagues. So it's their chance to actually see these best players actually play, and you know they're revered. We have a very different attitude to our best players in England, don't we? We very much, the moment they put a foot wrong, it's like, oh, you so. There's a lot more, like English abuse attached to the whole attitude towards it. I think they actually care a lot more, and it's a very English thing that we're just bored by it. We're so absorbed by club football until an international tournament comes around. We're just like, we don't want this. Lots of other countries do want this, but absolutely, the English specifically. Yeah. Like, I'm sure, you know, like even the Scots and the Welsh love it so much more than we ever do. You know, so it's just, well, because we have this natural expectation that World Cups and Euros will be there. It's like, I swear you could probably speak to some people and just think we automatically are there, and they had no idea that these games are even happening for us to get there. We're just there. Because that's how little interest there is. Whereas obviously the Scots have that jeopardy, the Welsh have that jeopardy of will they make it, will they not make it?
Yeah.
Obviously Wales have featured recently in tournaments for the first time in gazillions of years, and same with the Scots. So it's a very English. It's definitely a first world footballing issue.
It really is. Yeah, I think so. It's a privileged position to be in, to be like, oh fuck this, who cares? All right then. Looking at Tuchel then, so obviously this is going to be his first games in charge. He's going to be the manager going into 2026. I think you said it, didn't you? 24 hours worth of football before the tournament, before the World Cup. Side note, if any company wants to take us there, we will go. I will sell my soul. So do not worry about that.
Our emails are open.
Absolutely. What are your expectations of Tuchel? What are your expectations of 2026? And what are your expectations basically of the England squad?
I think to bring in a coach that isn't English, the automatic expectation should be win or bust. Because if you're bringing someone who is not an English manager to carry the squad, the idea behind it is because you're so good at coaching, you're that good of a manager, that we believe you can deliver us something that we haven't been able to achieve in, how many years is it now? 50, 60 years?
60 years almost.
Yeah, 59 years.
Be 60 years next year. Whoa.
Yeah.
Meant to be.
Whoa. So the idea behind it should be he has to win the World Cup or he simply can't continue in the role. Even if he got to the final and we lost. Of course, he's only signed a deal to take him up to the tournament anyway.
True.
So I feel that is very much the attitude of everyone involved, in that if you don't win, we'll shake hands, goodbye, whatever. But if you do win, imagine that, you know, the optics look entirely different, and you could probably imagine a world where he stays on. I feel like being an international manager, by the way, is the best job in the world.
Oh my God, isn't it? It's part-time managing, right?
Yeah, it's the workload is insane. You get to go to the Premier League games, You get to go, you know, get to go watch Jude in Spain. You get to go watch a couple of guys out in Italy. And, you know, you have to just every so often hang out with the boys, get them to train a bit, then go play Albania and be like, all right, boys, have a go. And then and that's it. And then you go off on your holidays for a couple of weeks. You, then, you know, and you get to live in London. You know, well, there's so many fantastic, and then you win a World Cup, and it'll be Sir Thomas Tuchel, and it's got to be the best job in the world. You get paid millions, you get paid a Premier League salary to do essentially what 2 months worth of work a year. So shout out to him for just clutching up. That's what I want to be doing. That's an insane.
It's the dream gig, isn't it? It is. Just like you said, telling the wife, I'm going to work this week. And realistically, I'm going to 3 European games and 2 Premier League games over the next week just to watch a bit of football. I'm like, oh, he's pretty good, that Harry Kane fella. I reckon he'll be all right. We'll start him up top, shall we? For a club like England as well, where we just have constant pump through of players. Listen, I know it's not as simple as this. We are taking the piss. But I'm also not. When Tuchel gets sacked,
I could have put that squad out.
That's what I mean. I could have done. I'm probably better actually.
I could have done it. 100% Henderson would not be in it. So, but on the note of Tuchel, Cormac, as a proud British man that you are, what are you?
And
expecting?
Irish,
you've
got to drop that in before mine.
And Irish. All right, Declan Rice. And and what are your thoughts on whether he's going to sing the national anthem or not? He says he has to earn it.
Truthfully, don't care. Could not give a shit. Win the game. I could not care less. Sing it if you want. Why is this a thing as well? Is it a thing because of Carsley? It must be. Because obviously he played for Ireland and he's not singing it out of respect for that. Again, I don't give a shit. Sing it, don't sing it. For ages, the players didn't sing it. Up until like 2018, basically. Wayne Rooney sat down like this. And he didn't sing it. No one was crying about it. You know, they sing it in rugby, obviously. God forbid I mention rugby. But, who gives a shit? I know it's like a trendy thing to kind of bring up, but it really doesn't matter, does it?
It's the classic, like, new media, anything's a story.
Yeah.
It's not a story. No one cares. Move on from it. He'll either do it or he won't do it. But he probably won't do it because he's German. So
yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
You can do it if you want. You don't sing it. It really doesn't. It really
I'll
doesn't
respect
matter.
Him if he does it, though.
Yeah, exactly. Start clapping. Yeah. So, like you said, his contract obviously only runs out then. And you said you'd say if he doesn't win, it's kind of a winner or bust. Rashford. Sal, I keep mentioning Rashford accidentally. Freudian slip. He's always on the mind, this guy. Southgate, towards the end, especially the last tournament in the Euros, he got battered for the style of football we played and how miserable it was and how dire. And we did rely on a lot of last-minute goals, you know, Bellingham, Watkins as well. What a moment that was, by the way. We were watching that together and we were losing our minds. We still got to the final, obviously. We did lose in the final to them bloody Spanish. But if Tuchel, let's say we get to the final and we've played generally fairly exciting football and we have looked good and we have looked like the top two teams in terms of style of play and we lose just in the final, that surely changes things, right?
Probably not.
Do you think that's brutal? That you wouldn't keep him on?
No, I probably wouldn't. I think it gives the FA 18 months to find an appropriate English manager to take the role if he isn't able to deliver the trophy. Ultimately, if he delivers the trophy, then it changes the optics entirely. But if your sole remit is to win, I would rather win playing the worst football I've ever seen, but we win, than to see the system implemented. Because ultimately, it changes with the seasons. You know, if you look back at the squad from 2 years ago to the squad we have now, it's going to look entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. You can have one system that works for one tournament. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the brutal nature of knockout tournament and tournament football is that it's not as easy just to say that's going to be replicated in the next one. We've seen many iterations of the England team. They're fought, like, you know, 2 years in between tournaments, a lot can change. I think if he doesn't win, then it gives the FA obviously have to put in the contingency plan to have the appropriate English manager to bring in for that role. Because a part of me does believe that if you are going to have an international team which is full of players who are able to represent England, then you should also have a manager who is able to who is English, because the FA invests a lot of money in a lot of frameworks. We have the we have the under 21s. We have the there's a lot of coaches that we're blooding. There's not a great amount of fantastic English coaches. That is a problem, and it's the same ilk of problem that the FA realized about 10 years ago, in that when we had the diabolical England
2014
squads, we're talking like Phil Jagielka's, we're talking although we were talking actually Gary Cahill's underrated, but you know what,
we were just saying that the other day, yeah, like compared to now, the quality of squad that we had really wasn't,
yeah,
it was,
and
you
they,
know,
so basically they rejuvenated the youth system in the England setup, and they just completely focused on that next generation. I can't remember what the project was called. It was spearheaded by Dan Ashworth, RIP.
Yep.
Actually, he's on that gardening leave. Respect, brother.
And, good on get that bag, brother.
Him,
yeah.
Get that gardening leave. And so it's something that the FA should be focusing on and should be diverting funds towards, in terms of just creating that next wave of English, British manager who is, which is nowhere near the European continent's level of producing managers. Taking the Premier League right now. After managing the Premier League from a like 5-street radius area in the Basque, it's just like, what the hell is that about? And yeah, and you're telling me that the country of England with like 60 million people can't produce one good manager? Name me the last time an English manager won the Premier League.
They never have.
Exactly. So yeah, that is a problem we need to be sorting and to be thinking about. And in the interim, I'm all on board for Thomas Tuchel if his remit is win the World Cup. But mm-hmm. if he doesn't deliver, then the contingency plan has to be to bring in the appropriate English manager to do so.
Okay. I think you're right. However, I have a slightly different mentality, in the sense that I think, shouldn't we just pick the best manager available? Isn't that something we're like, if we want to win, especially if we want to win now, and there's been, you know, golden generation, this, whatever, look at the squad we have, this and that. For me, I don't know if it's maybe it isn't, you know, I think what you said is completely fair, completely bang on, in the sense of there should be that generation, or we should have that project to try and produce these managers, you know, like they are in Spain, like they are in kind of South America or the rest of the Med. But for me, I'm just kind of like, let's just get the best coach available, who Tuchel was at the time. And let's just put him with the best crop of players that we could possibly have, with the best coach, and let's win. I'm not fussed otherwise.
But it's not an easy formula like that. It doesn't quite work like
no,
that.
No, of course it doesn't. But I think Tuchel probably, he's going to be what the best coach we've probably had in since, I mean, obviously when Capello came in, that was a big deal. Foreign manager, Sven as well, that was kind of a big deal. But, you know, both disasters, really. Love Sven, RIP.
RIP, brother.
Glenn Hoddle, I mean, you know, this is before our time, isn't it, really? But
I think if you just look at, for example, the Spanish FA and the Argentinian FA, Argentina won the World Cup, Spain won the Euros. They both promoted under their under 21 manager in Scaloni, and is his name Scaloni, or am I just making that up?
Yes, let's say yes and not fact check. I like that.
All right, cool. Yeah, Scaloni and De La Fuente. Am I making that up as well?
That one is correct, yeah.
Both promoted their under 21 manager to the senior role, and they both won the World Cup and the Euros respectively.
Yeah.
We tried to do that, but then everyone kicked off because Carsley's Irish. So we should just need to just think a bit different. I think everyone as well, I think a big problem with international football is everyone's clubified it, if that makes sense. Mm. Everyone's treating it like a football club. It's not, it's an international football team. And it doesn't need to be treated as a Premier League club. It's the same, you know, completely agree. Premier League club, someone, sack your manager, bring in the next best available one for where you're at.
Yeah.
Cool, I'm on board with that. That should be a correct tactic. But I think international football has a different optics, and it should be treated as such. And it very much should be that progression for young managers who then get the under-17s, the under-18s, under-21s, have the opportunity to manage the... Because Southgate, for example, he was part of the setup for many years until he took over on an interim, and then obviously got the job. And he provided, well, us as, you know, two 25-year-olds, fantastic years of watching England not win a trophy, but get very close to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just my take on it. I think it should work as such, and you shouldn't Premier League-ify it mm-hmm. so much, and it should be, you know, from within. But
I do.
It doesn't mean I'm not against.
No, I do agree. I do agree with that, and that is obviously. But I think both our situations are kind of best case scenario, really, aren't they? Best case scenario, you get the best coach in with the best group of players and you win. Best case scenario, we have that manager who's come through the setup and has the ability. And at the moment, as we know, and we both agree, we haven't got that. Like we mentioned him in the last episode, Eddie Howe is kind of the only top level English coach that we have at the moment. So he's busy in the Northeast. And then we're like, okay, Tuchel's available. So we put him in. Obviously, Dree, I agree with you. The best get, I don't think we should, but it would be great to have an English manager take us to the top, take us to World Cups, take us to Euros and win, which Southgate so nearly did to his credit. And like mentioned, I mean, the best memories we could have possibly had other than winning as an England, and it's been great, but I think it was the right time for him to step away. But yeah, that's all I've really got to say on that. Have you got anything else?
Well, yeah, I have actually, because I think as well, the Premier League has become such a behemoth of a product that now you have like your Crystal Palaces, you have Glasner, you have Bournemouth, you have Iriola, you have Wolves, who will just hire any Portuguese manager who's ever been born in Portugal. You have the teams in your lower to mid table, Manchester United, Amorim, Tottenham, and Postecoglou. You have all these teams now which are middle of the pack, which are going out and hiring these up-and-coming managers from across the continent. Whereas if you look at Spain and you look at Italy, and you know, you're going to take a Sporting Gijón or a Real Zaragoza and all these, they're not doing that. They're the middle of the pack in La Liga. They're going to hire a young or, you know, a Spanish coach who's going to gain experience coaching in a top-flight level. The Premier League has become so international that it's actually so difficult for the managers in the Championship and League One who are English coaches to actually get that next step up. It takes ages, and you've got to do something special. Like Kieran McKenna is obviously, even though I believe he's from Northern Ireland, has done that in regards from Ipswich, First League, Championship, Premier League. He's now a Premier League coach, but it's only because he took that club from League One.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's so difficult. Premier League clubs aren't going to the Championship to hire their manager. They're going to Spain, they're going to Italy, they're going to Germany and taking the manager from the 5th, 6th, 7th team there, respectively, and bring them in. And that team will be 13th, 14th in the Premier League, whereas obviously in Spain, Germany and Italy and France, they're not doing that. They're taking the manager from 19th, 20th or Liga DOS or whatever, and then giving them that experience. So the whole framework of how it works in England really prevents young English coaches from taking that next step up, which is a problem that's not going away. The Premier League will just keep getting bigger. So that's my probable final point on it. So basically, there's no way to solve this.
No, I agree with a lot of you said, though. Absolutely. And I think you're completely right. But just checking time as well. I think we are slowly just about to run out of time. We're at 46 minutes now. So unless you've got anything else to add kind of on that, I mean, who gives a shit about the games this weekend?
We'll do predictions, man.
All right, come on then. Right, let's see if we can do this. Let me just remind us. Oh, I know we're playing Albania on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're playing, is it Latvia next week? It is Latvia. Latvia on Monday. So, right, England, Albania, England versus Dua Lipa. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go, prediction. This is the most boring prediction I've ever done. I'm going to go for a 3-0 England. I'm going to go for a Harry Kane goal. And I'm also going to go for a... Morgan Rodgers goal. Looking at the squad.
All right, one more. That's two. You got another goal scorer?
Anthony Gordon.
All right, I like that. Nice. I will go for 4-1. I'm going to say Bellingham brace, Harry Kane penalty, and Anthony Gordon.
Perfect. And, I'm also going to caveat my prediction, by the way. Harry Kane is also scoring a penalty in my round.
The only thing he can score. And then England, Latvia, what do you reckon?
I'm going to go for a 4-0. I think Lewis Skelly will score.
Oh, yes, please.
Just as the just to answer everything that he's had to deal with. I'm also going to go for a Reece James goal randomly. I'm going for it. I'm going to go for, and then a Marcus Rashford double.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to bore in 2-0. Harry Kane, 2 penalties. Tune in, folks, Monday night. All right, thanks, guys, for listening to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard podcast. A little midweek episode we've done here, international special. We will still do another one this weekend. I think we spoke about before, we're going to make our 26-man squad if the World Cup was the day, you know, the call-up was that day. Who would we take? Who would we not take? Or compare squads, chat some rubbish, and maybe we talk about the England game that happened on Friday. But who really cares? I think that's the main message of this podcast. Who gives a shit about anything?
If you manage to make it to the end of this talk about the international break, absolutely fair play.
Absolutely. We spoke way too long about managers as well. Actually, I thought it was a good discussion.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I already miss the Premier League. Just having to talk about all that makes me realise how much I miss the Premier League. Bring it back. End in international breaks forever.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right. Perfect, guys. See you later. Been a pleasure.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.